I did not intend for this part of this series to go as long as it's gone. But with that said, God did. And to be honest with you, when I first started this series, one of the things that drew me to it was just the area that God had been speaking to me about regarding praise and worship. And because He had been talking to me about it, I'd been listening, and the area of, you know, the secrets to enjoying life kind of came out, and this was the first one. So it, I don't know, it's really engulfed me because there's so many levels of this that I keep getting into. I think preaching on it at the Word Rally helped me, actually almost put it a little order, in which I have done. I actually inserted certain things on this, so we have a little order. But go ahead and go to John chapter 4. That's where we're going to start off here, the first scripture. But we've been discussing here on Sunday mornings, the past several Sunday mornings, we've been talking about the fact that, you know, too many Christians just really are not enjoying their walk with God. I used the illustration on Friday of the old commercial, the Dunkin' Donuts commercial of the man where he'd say, it's time to make the donuts. And then he'd go make the donuts. And then nighttime he'd come out, I made the donuts. And time to make the donuts, he'd go out again. And I rewatched it this week just to kind of see, because my recollection of it was that man never had a look that he was like really excited about making your donuts. When he had to get up real early in the morning to make it, he was like, time to make the donuts. And then when he'd come home at night, he'd be dragging and beat up and like, I made the donuts. And too many Christians, that's how they treat church. That's how they treat their Christian activities is, well, it's time to make the donuts. They get done. They're a little more excited when they leave, except that they had to hear Pastor Thad preach for, you know, an hour. So they're a little more excited when they leave. But that's how they treat their Christian walk, is that it's more like, well, I got to make the donuts. If I don't make the donuts, who's going to make the donuts? I got to go, because if I don't go, Pastor Thad's going to call me, text me. He's going to say, yeah, I've already got some people on my agenda here. I'm going to text after service today. Missed ya. Where was you at? You wasn't where you were supposed to. No, all right. So I don't want him. So if I show up, at least he's not going to text me. At least I don't feel bad. At least I don't. And it's become going to church. Now I hear, I don't say that's a majority. I'm not saying that's your problem. Okay. I'm not going around thinking you don't enjoy it. I'm just saying that that's a symptom that's going on in church, and I can sense it happening in people, not necessarily here, but in people where they just are not enjoying it. That's the gist of when people now start, they have to teach that it's okay to live how you want to live. Just come on and come to church, because if you come to church, we can get your offerings, and we can't get your offerings if you don't come to church. And so go ahead and come to church and feel free to live however you want. Just come to church. And somehow they think that they're doing the Lord's work by just getting them to come to church. God wasn't about the church in and of itself. He's about you seeing your life transformed. Being in church, going to church, we're going to look at it a little bit today, is a part of seeing your life transformed. And so just showing up is not where it's at. And if I were to water down the message so that somehow you all felt a little more comfortable in your seats and a little more comfortable in the pew, and you're going, okay, I can live with showing up because I can leave to do whatever I want to do, and that's not acceptable. But in order to get Christians to come somewhat enjoy their Christianity, that's what the church has gotten to. Let's accept homosexuality. No. No. I will never, ever in my lifetime, and I'm not homophobic, I'm disagreeable with that lifestyle. It's wrong. I don't like that they put the word homophobic, because the only reason that you could ever disagree with them is if you're afraid of them. No, that's not, it's a wrong word. There's no fear. But it's a word that makes you feel this tall, doesn't it? But because that's the word they use to identify those that don't agree with their lifestyle. I will never, I don't care what the government says, I don't care what the Supreme Court says, I don't care if we lose our 501 whatever status because of it, I will never agree, I will never teach that it's okay, but you know what, I'm going to love the dickens out of the homosexual. Because they need Jesus. They need a life. You don't choose that lifestyle because everything's going really good. There's something missing. And they need Jesus. And listen, us changing what we preach to accept them doesn't mean they still get into heaven. So is that one of those things that it's like, well, there's no sweat down here on earth. There will be for the pastor in heaven. Is that not what the word says, that he has takes charge over your soul? That he's, don't be so quick to want to be a preacher and to deliver it, because there's a higher judgment that comes against you. Amen. It is. It's just the way it be, bro. Yeah. So, that is a symptom. All that stuff is a symptom that there's something wrong. There's something missing in the church. And again, you say, why are you starting with this so much, Pastor? Why do you keep talking about this? Because if we are not watchful, it can easily seep into us. We can get so much into the fact that, look, man, I know, Steve, I'm so impressed by him, because I know how he feels about the Cleveland Cavaliers, now the Los Angeles Lakers, obviously. I know how he feels about them, and I know how the joy and the intensity that it brings to him to watch one of their games. I know that, but you know, I have never seen him. Now, I've seen him leave quickly, but I've never seen him miss a church service to watch that. That's. I mean, I've not missed to watch the Cubs either. So we're even there. But that tells you a value that of church versus other stuff. But there's people that would take that and say, look, man, you know, I don't miss very much. I could miss one service just to watch LeBron James or someone else, you know, play basketball. It's no big deal. I'm fine with that. You know what? You're probably not going to lose your Christianity by it. I mean, there's probably a really good chance of it. I probably could take out the word probably and say, you're not going to lose your Christianity over missing a church service. Oh, no, I don't want to, Lord. I won't. Okay. Maybe I will. Let's just keep on with this all. But you do begin identifying what's more real to you, what's more important to you. That extra hour of sleep, is that more important to you? And that's where so many Christians, that's where we start letting it seep in. One service isn't that bad. Okay, I get you on that. One service is not going to make or break you. But when it starts becoming a pattern, that's where it starts. And as a pastor, see, there's another level where it starts. And that's the level, and I talked about it a couple weeks ago, where it's not necessarily skipping church, it's just not understanding the importance of what we do here. Too many Christians, again, they look at, hey, you know, as long as I get there for the preaching of the word, pastor will be happy. As long as I get there eventually, things will be okay. The word eventually is the key. And they're not understanding that, beloved, What you're doing is you're not understanding the value of what's being done here. You are okay. You are You are valuing other things more than things of God. And again, the thing that we've been talking about here is that area of praise and worship. And too many Christians, and you may think, well, that's not how I think about it, but that's how you treat it. Where praise and worship becomes, this morning, boy, you miss praise and worship. You miss something. I think it's increasing. I think we are raising, and I think a lot of it has to do with this series, is that we're recognizing the value of praise and worship. Praise and worship isn't the song service. And see, this is where we got to really grab a hold of this. Praise and worship isn't the songs. Praise and worship isn't the guitars, isn't the piano, it's not the clapping of the hands, it's not the dancing, it's not the singing, it's not the raising of the hands. That's not praise and worship. I think one of the scriptures that best identifies what I'm talking about is the scripture that says, praise the Lord with the dance. All those things that we do on the outside are merely ways of expressing what's inside of us. So when we clap our hands, the clapping of the hands is an expression of worship. It's not worship, because worship is in here. The raising of your hands is not worship, but it's an expression of worship. People are like, well, I just don't dance. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give lessons here today. If you want lessons on how to dance, you need to see my, you know, a couple low impact dance moves that you can do. But people, I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to dance. I'm right here. I'm right here in my little area. I don't step out of this area. I'm here in this area. Listen, when your spirit cries out, when your inside cries out and says, you got to express yourself, then at least you got to start tapping your foot. At least you got to start swaying. Because why? Because the dance isn't the praise; it's an expression of what's going on inside of you. We're gonna really pull this out. Let's see how far I can step ahead quickly. Again, we know that the importance is not just praising on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesdays. It's having a lifestyle of it. But there's something. I like this. The beauty of worship, the true beauty of worship occurs in communion with other like-minded believers. When we're together, that's where the true fullness of worship comes. In other words, you all, in your daily walk, daily quiet time, you worship. But when we gather together, that's where it's intensified and the fullness of worship happens. Why? Because wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He's there in the midst of them. He's going to show off when two or three are gathered. And so there's an increase of the anointing when two or three worship together. Now, I have, and this happened because of teaching it on Friday, I put a little bit of order into what we've been teaching. Just, and I guess you'd say, so that we can have some points. Pastor Thad, you've not had a 3-point sermon in a while. Well, here's our points in this. The first one, and this one, we've talked about this already, so I'm just giving you these so you can kind of make sense of some of that chicken scratch that I've given you in the past. Praise and worship flows from the inside out. And it's essential. In other words, praise and worship is based on worth, not just based on your enjoyment of singing. Remember the scripture. Well, let's look. John chapter 4. You should be there by now. Chapter 23, verse 23 says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. They that worship Him, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." The New Living Translation, I love that last phrase in verse 23, in the New Living Translation, it says, "The Father is looking for those who will worship Him this way, in spirit and in truth." So, the point is that, when your spirit is in alignment with God and the things of God, praise and worship will be a natural outflow. When your spirit isn't, then one of two things are going to happen. First thing that can happen is that you just don't want to worship. I've shared with you, I think I shared with you last week, just about that time where I was annoyed at the fact that it didn't seem like finances were flowing very well for us, and we went over to Grace Main and sat in the back, and they were singing "Every Time I Turn Around," and the whole congregation is just rejoicing and turning around about the increase, and I'm standing there just gritting my teeth going, "Ain't nothing there's a verse." I was not in a good place spiritually, and it was evident outside. Sometimes you can come to praise and worship, and you can start, a little extra fresh stuff here, even though we're repeating, you can come to praise and worship with a critical spirit. You can talk about, "We're singing this song again. Oh, this is not one of my favorite songs. Oh, this song Pastor Thad likes to dance on or try to dance on. Or this song, oh, I don't like this song. This song is not, why don't we sing more songs instead of the open worship a lot and the spontaneous worship? Why don't we do more of that kind of stuff?" And you can start getting critical about stuff. Therefore, what are you not doing? Entering in. There was one time this week. This week was, honestly, Jesse and I were kind of like going into this week going, it's okay, all right. And from day one, I really feel like it was probably one of the best, if not the best, word rally we've had. But see, a lot of that can just simply be because of the view inside of me. Because day one, I'm in praise and worship. Monday was tough too because I had mowed our yard, and the heat on Monday was like heavy. I think we'd had hotter days over the summer, but it was heavy. And I mean, I'm push mowing part of my yard where I cut in around the house and do a little bit. And I'm push mowing. And it was like someone had turned a spigot on over my head. And I had just sweat just dripping down. Then I go inside, get some water. Then I went out and rode the rest of it. And that heat just was like, remember, was it Frosty the Snowman or the Heat Miser? Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. I felt like he was just standing over me. Doing that. So I got there that night and my skin was hot. My face was hot. It was a little muggy in the sanctuary because they've been working on trying to get their air conditioner going right. It was really kind of hard, but yet I was in worship, I was in praise. But then the next night, I think that was that the night I taught you to dance, Allison? Monday night. And so there's an air of joy anyway. We're having fun and enjoying the presence. The next night we're just in there. The next night, Wednesday night, I get there, and this thought hits me. I'm like, I'm gonna tell you exactly what it is. It's like, oh, I don't like that. And it was just, I won't discuss with you what I didn't like, but I was like, it's not my favorite. And immediately I recognized what was happening. The critical spirit, the condemnation spirit, was trying to rise up inside of me to do what? To replace what was inside, what it was coming out, and I was like, no. And I immediately recognized it, cast it down, entered in, and the stuff that was inside of me that started flowing out instead of it replacing. See, the enemy wants to replace the good with a condemning spirit and all that kind of stuff. Because if he can do that, he can keep you from praising. If he can keep you from praising, he can keep you from wanting to come to church. He can keep you from wanting to be here in a timely manner, things like that. But when we understand that when our inside's right, praise flows. Probably one of my favorite lines from any worship song that we sing, and I say probably because I could probably say this about, it's kind of like the favorite scripture. There's a lot of them. But it's a song from Dancing Generation, The Bridge, where it says, "It's the overflow of a forgiven soul Now I've seen you, God, my heart cannot stay silent. When you have taken hold of His majesty, it is impossible for you to remain composed and quiet and unexpressive in your praise. It will come flowing out. Now again, Matthew's account, Matthew 15, talking about the disciples, they didn't wash their hands, they didn't do all the stuff that they're supposed to do before they ate, and God says, hey, listen, this is Matthew 15, verse 8, it says, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth, not the disciples, the religious people, they seem like they sound right on the outside. See, that's the other one. I told you the first thing that will happen is that, if your insides are not right, is you just don't praise and worship. The other thing that will happen is that people who like to sing will sing. And I've had people who sing, and they'll sing as loud as they possibly can just to be heard. I've seen people sit close to In certain churches. Now, I stand up there, so it's hard to sit too close to me. But I've seen people sit really close to the pastor and sing in his ear so that he'll really know how great they are. Because the praise and worship is about the singing instead of about... And that's why they'll start getting angry if you're not singing the songs that showcase my voice. I was really hoping they'd do this song because this song I can really sing high on. And I can really do the, you know, I'm so good at that part, and they didn't do it. And so you probably, and people who like to dance, they'll dance. They'll be, out of order perhaps, or they'll be, they'll just, you know, cause they'll dance. They like to dance. They like to, I'm hyper. I had a Red Bull before I came, and I gotta get rid of the butter. And so they'll do it anyway, but it's not really flown from the heart. And so, what can happen is that it can manipulate what you think is having a great time. I preached this on Friday, and I taught this heavy, real strong. I never got off this first point, which I will do tonight, in Jesus' name. But one of the pastors came up to me afterwards and said, "Man, I had that problem in my church too." And she said, "I had to get on my people for that too." She said, I've already narrowed it down, haven't I? So we were in praise and worship the other day, and everybody's standing around. So I just went in the aisles and started pulling people out in the aisles and making them dance. And I was like, well, and that's exactly what I'm preaching against. It's exactly what I was going against. Because the problem isn't that they're not dancing. It's, look, man, again, I'm not talking that you have to dance. That was one of the things I brought out on Wednesday, is that there's ways to move without doing the Holy Ghost hop. You know, we think that we have to jump and dance and kick in order to dance, and you don't. I was dancing today. Allison says my go-to is the thumbs up dance. I need one of those earpieces so I can use both thumbs instead of one thumb. But it's not the problem becomes not the lack of the dance, not lack of the song, not the lack of the clapping the hands. The problem becomes is that there's something keeping you from it. Now some of you might say, "Well, Pastor Thad, you don't understand. My knees are bad." I understand that. So my arms are sore. Okay, I understand that, but now you'd have to agree with me that means that the pain in your knees is very real to you. And I get, but see, that's why I'm saying, beloved, you don't have to dance to jump up and down. You can dance by just simply, you know. There ain't no pressure on your knees doing this stuff and waving your hands, and there's no pressure on your knees doing that. But if the inside's clean, clear, good, and again, I'm not telling you have to dance crazy, okay? Now, I will tell you, there's a place and time for everything. But are you following me on this? It's not an external problem when it comes to that. Because when the inside's right, the praise is going to flow. Different forms, there's different ways to praise Him. And that's why we always got to guard ourselves. Praise will always flow from the inside out. When the inside is right, when the inside is in that place of rightness with God, your praise is going to just be, it's going to come out. You're going to need it. I don't like to sing, but I'm going to sing. Because I got to speak those words. I got to say those words. I don't like to clap my hands. I never thought in my life, when I was a kid, everybody clapped in church for songs. Everybody was, it was one of those things, it was like, and of course, me being a youth, I had to do things different. And I still do that, don't I? But everybody clapped in church. I went to a Pentecostal church. Everybody may not have clapped in your church, but everybody clapped in my church. Because it's part of praise and worship. It's part of what we do. God said, clap your hands, all you people. He didn't say, clap your hands, if you feel like it. He said, clap your hands, all your people, shout unto God. Which that may have been the problem, because they weren't shouting, people don't shout unto God. But shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Pardon me while I have fun for a moment. And now we get in churches and praise and worship comes up. And I'm telling you, the hardest thing to do sometimes is to get your arms that 90 degree angle and put them together repeatedly. I just don't feel like it. Why don't you feel like it? Because everything's going good. No one ever said that, did they? I don't feel like clapping because everything is perfect in my life. It's usually I'm tired. I'm wore out. Oh, I don't clap. Hold. Did the Bible say, this is a minor suggestion, it might help in your praise and worship or keeping the rhythm for if you clap your hands, all your people? They said, clap your hands, all y'all. That's the Eastern Kentucky version of it. All y'all, shout unto God, all y'all, with a voice of triumph. Pastor Thad, you're really making this legalistic. No, I'm not. I'm revealing something to you. There's a lot of things that we don't do because we didn't know how important it was. And the only way we find out what we're supposed to do is by having it taught to us. And that's all I want to get across to us today. Is praise and worship just something that we started? It's the order of the service. No, there's a reason why it's the order of the service. There's a reason why we do it like we do it. There is a reason why we include it all the time. There's a reason why we don't take it lightly. There's a reason why when I start leading worship, when I get up here to lead worship, that I don't go half-hearted. I don't give it half my effort. Because I don't want anything that I ever do in my life for God to be half effort. Because He means way too much to me. He's done way too much for me. For me to get up and to praise and worship and give half an effort. To be so bogged down with the pressures and the weights that are weighing on my shoulders and so familiar with what's going on the outside of me that I just hey, Pastor Thad, if you want to clap, that's cool. But I just can't. Lift up those hands that hang down. I was thinking the other day about the woman with the issue of blood. And you know what I found out? I did a little bit of digging around on the woman with the issue of blood to find out some information on her. And I found out that she was not under the ministry of Kenneth Hagin at the time. So she was not under the ministry of Kenneth Copeland at the time. She was not under the ministry, technically, really, of Jesus at the time. So, you know what? She had never heard any messages on how faith works. She didn't read Kenneth Hagin's booklet on Here's How Faith Works. She didn't read Gloria Copeland's book that healing is for today. Now, I know some of y'all going, yeah, Pastor Thad, we know that. And yet she operated by faith perfectly. You know why? Because the inside was convinced, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. She knew it. She was convinced beyond convincing that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. This issue of blood, this flowing out of blood that has been operating in my body for these 12 years, that will stop if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She's convinced on the inside. And because she was convinced on the inside, you know what happened? All of her outside stuff came in line. She just started, we use her, a lady who very possibly was uneducated. Maybe, I don't know, maybe she didn't even know how to read. Maybe she just read very basic stuff. So she didn't even, if Kenneth Hagin would have written a book back then, which I don't think he was around, but you know, get my point. If he would have written a book back then, she probably wouldn't have been able to read it. And yet she operated in perfect faith because her insides were right. And that's exactly what I'm talking about with this first point that I've talked about every week, and I keep talking about more and more. And I talked about Friday, and I talked about, and I keep talking about it, because this is the one piece of revelation, beloved, that will change the way you view praise and worship. It'll change the way, reasons why you do things. You will no longer have a thought pattern that, well, what's everybody else doing? Well, Doc's not screaming and shouting, so I'm not going to scream and shout. Oh, Pastor Thad's not clapping his hands, so I'm not going to clap my hands. You're going to be like, you know what? I need to clap my hands. You know what? My inside, now again, your insides are also going to flow with the flow of the service. If we're all quiet and all of a sudden you go, boop, 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 we'll all go, come on, man. God's not going to do that. But when we're celebrating and everybody else is sitting, brought this up to Jessica this morning on the way in. One thing kind of bothered me about the word rally. And that was on Tuesday night when Elaine Holmer was preaching. And she started out her sermon by singing a song. What was the song? Do you remember the song, ladies? It was an upbeat song. Good old-fashioned, upbeat, tap your foot, stuff like that song. And she getting going. Where do I run to? What a cheat down boom from thing. Where do I go? You know, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone. And I'm like, I'm like, yeah, this is good. And I realize I'm the only one in the sanctuary clapping. Hey, everybody, get a candle lit. I should have preached my sermon first of the week because I was and I heard, I think the row behind me, I think Allison and Katie were started joining a little bit, and then they're like, it's rock! And I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm looking around, and I'm going, hey, you know what? This is totally appropriate. I'm not out of order. I'm in order. Y'all are just sitting around like lumps on a log, and I'm going to clap my hands no how, because I feel inside of me. I didn't need to look. And that's kind of out of character for me. Because usually I'm like, okay, no one's clapping. I want to clap. Let me tap my foot real hard. The only thing I didn't do that I wanted to do was stand up. Now I feel guilty because I didn't stand up. You don't have to find out how do I praise the Lord. When your insides are lined up correctly, it's just going to come out. And there's going to be ways to do it. The second point that we brought out in this a couple of weeks ago that we dealt with this, but is that worship creates intimacy with God like really nothing else can. When we get into worship and praise, it becomes, even in a crowded room, it can become just you and God, just where you're set on Him and He's speaking to you and He's talking to you and you can get caught up. And if you remember correctly, we talked about how both thanksgiving and praise are identified at different places in scriptures as a sacrifice. As sometimes we do those things or whatever, but when we truly enter into worship, we ourselves become the sacrifice. We lay ourselves down to be used and directed just to allow the Holy Spirit to use us when we get in that place of worship. And every service will end up having thanksgiving and praise. Not all the time do we really get into the value, the deepness of worship. And I want to believe that we are continually stepping into that more and more consistently, simply because why? Because we're praising Him from the inside out. And the biggest picture of that, obviously, is the tabernacle with a holy place. And the only thing that the high priest was allowed to take into the Holy of Holies with him was that censer with the incense burning in it. And that was the only thing that were to go there. If you ever, Leviticus 16:12 says that he took, that censer went in with him. And he would offer that up, and that's a type of day and night and day, let incense rise. That's that type of praise and worship, worship really before the throne. And that was what God wanted to have. It brought you through the veil and into that holy place. And so that's there's an intimacy. Now, last week we got going in this area of praise. The first area was praise and worship goes from the inside out. Second one was worship, and really that worship is the intimacy, provides intimacy like nothing else really can. The third one is really more in the area of praise. Praise wins battles. Again, prayer gives you access, praise wins the battles. And so last week we started in this area. We dealt with the area of Psalms 149 where it says, let the praise of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. Execute vengeance on nations, punishment on the peoples. Again, I have a couple songs, I guess parts of songs maybe that I always love. Our champion, you fight for us. You made a way when there was none. Our champion, you're strong in us. The debt we owed, you paid in blood. The other one is from the praise song, The Lion and the Lamb. And the first part of that one goes, our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with battles, fighting our battles. He's roaring with power, fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. And those tell that story, that beloved, when you're in a battle, you can start fighting it on your own, start fighting it and have you noticed when you're in a battle, you anxiously want the service to get into the worship part of it, the slowdown songs? Okay. I'm the only one that's done this, but let me tell you about it, okay? Let me tell you what's happened. Is that you're tired, you're worn out, your physical body, maybe you're fighting a headache, maybe you're fighting some pain in your knees and your ankles and your shoulder and your stomach, wherever. You're fighting some battles going on. Maybe you got some battles going on in your family, in your relationships or something like that. And all you want to do is, I don't want to rejoice. Man, now I want to teach this on Friday. You don't want to rejoice because I just want to get to the slow songs so I can be calm and maybe shed a tear. Because that's all I feel like doing. Because now I'm still singing, I'm still there, I'm still doing it, but now I can shed a tear and everybody will think I'm just caught up in, oh, it's time to worship. Let me just, I'm going to sit down in my chair and really act contemplative. I'm not saying it's wrong to sit down. Oh, my knees feels better now. And I stand. This is easier. This is better. Isn't it fun? When you're fighting a battle, you want to get over into worship. And while worship has its place, praise is what really wins the war. Isn't that something? And you know what I found in Scripture? It's specifically the corporate praise. It's the praise when we come together that really wins the battles. We looked last week at the story of Moses and the battle when they were fighting. I think it was the Amalekites. Testimony. Kind of disappeared there for a second. And the Amalekites. And when Moses stood up on the mountaintop, and he had his hands raised. And whenever he had his hands raised, the ones that were fighting the battle took the advantage. Well, everybody knows when you raise your hands too long, your shoulders start getting a little worn out. So you got to drop them for a little bit. So he'd be like that. Then he'd go, oh, yeah, stretch for a little. And the second he would start stretching his shoulders and start relaxing himself, the tides would turn. And his guys started getting slaughtered. And he'd be like, sorry, oh, but my shoulders are hurting. And then he'd be like, ah! Well, finally, Aaron and Hur were standing by him. And they both said, we recognize this thing too. And we want to help you get the victory. Ooh, isn't that something about corporate worship? That was something I really pointed out this morning. I even highlighted it in light blue, so a color I don't use very often. But it says, when Christians thank that they don't need corporate worship, they're mistaken. Because this is a beautiful picture of the encouragement that we get when we're in here together. And we're like, you know what? If Pastor Thad can raise his hands, if Doc can raise his hands, if, you know, then what would stop me? And then we think, yeah, okay, Lord, I'm gonna raise my hands too. And we begin raising our hands, or we begin maybe shouting. Well, if Doc can shout, if Doc's going to shout, I won't make him do it on his own, so I'll shout too, right? And then we just join in, but we're encouraged by one another. We're encouraged by being here together. And that's the picture I really got in this, is that yes, the raising of the hands won the battle, defeated the Amalekites in that battle, but it was the corporateness, it was the encouragement they received from each other in this battle that was important. And of course, we pointed out last week that the Hebrew word toda is the extending of the hands in adoration and thanksgiving. There's another one of extending your hands that is like more joyous and stuff like that, which could fit in here also. We went in the second one we talked about last week was the walls of Jericho, and how when they were loaded with two things, a ram's horn to make music, to make the noise, a loud noise, and the shout. That was what they're equipped with. So after their obedience, after they did what they were supposed to do, there had to be the ram's horn and then the shout. And the ram's horn and the shout. The ram's horn was by all the priests, the seven priests that were carrying it, carrying the ram's horns. And then the shout was by everybody else. It was a corporate thing. What if Joshua was the only one, and then they blah, and Joshua went, woo! don't know, the walls will have come down. There was a corporate thing that happened that caused these walls to come down and caused the victory to be won. Amen. But again, that shows the picture of there's instruments, but also the shabak is a type of praise, which just simply means to shout very quietly in a whispering voice. No, it means to shout as loud as you can. Amen. And again, the shabak is always is a sign of victory. So sometimes when you're going through the battle and things aren't looking so good, you still need to shout. Because Jesus said, it is finished. When he said it's finished, he said, my work is finished. What do you need to do? You need to shout. Amen. So we dealt with that. Well, let's move to the next battle here, and as I'm almost out of time. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If I can at least get through these two accounts. And again, I've given you a lot of fresh stuff. I don't feel like any of it, and nothing that's come out of me has just been something like I'm trying to run out some just old information. I told Jessica, I said, I did not intend for this to be this gripping. It's like all I've thought about for the last month or so in teaching is just praise and worship. But it's becoming more and more real, and there's some things being released in our praise and worship because of it. I've heard from several of you all that, you know, some of y'all been Christians for a while, and it was like, I did not understand the depth of praise and worship. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit. I don't like teaching stuff just to rehash stuff. Well, the Lord told me to preach on favor, so I went back in my archives and picked out a sermon on favor, and this will do good for this morning. And I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to hear from God, I'm going to find out some stuff, I'm going to read some stuff, I'm going to study some stuff, I'm going to get in the scriptures on stuff, I'm going to hear the voice of God on some stuff, and I'm going to give you a fresh insight, fresh revelation. That's the way I was, but I've preached on praise and worship before. I got a lot of sermons on praise and worship. But man, this is about the biggest insight, deepest insight I've had in this area. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see the armies of Judah here being, I don't want to say encompassed, but they had three different armies getting ready to go to war against them, preparing for war against them. And Judah, Jehoshaphat's army, they know this. They recognize this. They've looked out over the vastness of it, land, and they're like, yeah, that's a big army. And it's not just one big army. There's two really good sized army and one smaller army. And they're all coming against us. And it was very intimidating. And so he goes to God to say, I need some details on what we're going to do. Because you are the one that's blessed us. Our blessing resides unto you. So we need to not know what we think we should do. We want you to tell us what we need to do so that we can partake of the victory. And so here's what it came down to. Let's just read verse 21. This is kind of a synopsis of what God said. Verse 21, it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out ahead of the army. All right. Allison, Jessica, Steve sings up there, right? You guys are out in front. All you guys with the bazookas and guns and bombs and knives and all that kind of stuff, you guys follow them up. But Jessica and Allison, right out in front. Steve, you're out. No, Steve, we'd want out in front anyway, but you guys get out in front. Everybody else that is well prepared for battle, you guys go in after them. I got a question. You sure about this one? But what a picture. It is more important to be equipped with praise than to be equipped with any other weapon of your warfare. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. And here's what they were supposed to say. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which had come against Judah, and they were all smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and totally slayed them, destroyed them. And then when they destroyed them, they looked at each other and got ticked off at each other and destroyed one another. And they, where is it in verse 15, where God says, the battle's not yours, but mine. That was the, all they had to do was go in and remove the spoil. But now I want to show you a couple things here, okay? Verse 21. And when the people, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now, okay. That they should praise the beauty of holiness. Alright, now, what comes to your mind when you think just of that phrase, praise the beauty of holiness? Isn't that one of those things of going, oh, you're so beautiful. That's the praising the beauty of holiness is kind of like that song. You are good. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, it's just a beauty. I'm just, you know, gotta wave my hand gently. I thought it was funny because I looked that word up. Here's what he said. Here's what they were supposed to do. That they should halal the beauty of holiness. Anybody here know what halal means? Halal is that crazy term. It's the term that means clamorously foolish. It is the word that means to shine, to celebrate, to make a display openly. So they're supposed to go out in front and not go up there. It's not this picture. It's not this. Come on, armies. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, he's so beautiful. I don't know if I need to do this or not, but they needed to come out going, woo! Yeah! And shouting and celebrating openly. And you talk about confusion. Marvin, what are they doing over there? I don't know, but did something happen? What happened? Did we miss something? Yeah. That's how they were supposed to praise. Isn't that something? Because again, I want you to see this picture that what wins the war, what wins the battle, worship is cool, worship is necessary, it's that intimacy, but what wins the battle is that praise, that celebration, that yeah! Whew! Pardon me if I get caught up. And so they went out before the army. And here's what they were to say. Praise the Lord. Now that word praise is the word yada. And so it's that vigorous, which would, you know, you could do vigorous raising of hands and woo! This is the kind of the picture I get with the vigorous extension of the hand. So they went dancing and shouting and hooting and hollering and extending the praise the Lord for his mercy endure forever. Praise the Lord. For his mercy, endure it forever. Join with me. Praise. No one? Okay. Ha ha ha. And when they began to praise, verse 22, and that word praise is the word tequila. Not tequila. That's a different kind of praising. Tequila, which means to sing spontaneously, no rehearsal or written music. See? When I get caught up here and I start singing those new songs and I sing things that we've never sang and Jessica's going, oh Lord, what's here? Where's he going now? And Allison's going, do I sing with him? Do I don't sing with him? You sing a new song too. You know, I always say that at the Word Rally this week, Pastor David and Julie would be up there singing a new song, and I didn't have to sing their words. Sometimes I did because it was repetitive and it was something that was easy. But I didn't actually have to say, I could sing my words back here. I just didn't try to overthrow them. I just sang it to myself. And, oh, Lord, I worship you. Oh, I magnify your name. So beautiful, so beautiful. See, that's an unrehearsed song that just comes from the bottom of my heart. So in this one victory, pretty dramatic. It's one of the go-to stories when we talk about winning a warfare. We see Halal. We see extending your hands vigorously. And we sing singing songs with musical accompaniment without sitting there going, I forgot the words, Margaret. Could you put the words up on it? Had a long extension cord and had an overhead projector. Like, everybody sing with us now. No. Just words that came to their heart. They began singing, celebrating, extending their hands, pumping their arms, excited about what God was doing. And then God set up the ambushments. Psalm 22, verse 3, beloved, it says, But thou art holy, O Lord. O thou that inhabitest the halal, the praises of Israel. I think that actually is a word maybe tehillah. Of Israel, the free song of Israel. See, beloved, when we learn the power of praise and worship, that's the thing where Second Chronicles chapter 20 verse 15 says, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says: Do not be afraid, don't be discouraged by the army, for the battle is not yours; it's the Lord's." When you learn the power of raising your hands and worshiping Him, that's what Exodus chapter 14, verse 14 says when they were at the Red Sea. It says the Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. When you learn the power of that, when you learn the power of praise and worship, that's what Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22 says. It says, don't be afraid of the nations in there, for the Lord thy God will fight for you. You be satisfied. You do what God tells you to do. You rejoice. You clap your hands. You dance. You shout. You rejoice of the victory that's already been taken care of. And He's going to take care of the battle that you're facing. I was watching a TV show the other day. It was a lawyer show. And so they have a lot of courtroom scenes where they're fighting certain things. And one of the scenes, the lawyer that was fighting on behalf of this guy had a history of doing some things that he wasn't supposed to do. And so they were like, we need to, I forget the exact story, but we need to go ahead and the guy that had done something, he was the star of the show. He was trying to fight for something. And the other guy said, listen, you need to nix that because this guy has a pattern of being, not good, of misbehaving in court. He has a pattern of doing things that are wrong. And the judge says, well, bring me those patterns and I'll, and they showed him that he had a history of again and again and again and again and again doing the same thing. And so the judge made a ruling based on the fact that if he's done it once, there's a good chance he'll do it again. That holds up in a court of law. I can make a judgment in this case on this area right here because if he's done it once, there's a good chance he's going to do it again. Can you preach the rest of this? Because if God over and over and over again through praise and worship and through His love for His people has been busy fighting their battles for them, all they have to do is trust in Him. If He's done it before, beloved, He's faithful to do it again. And when the devil comes up to you and the enemy looks you in the eye and says, this is beyond you. This is something you can't do on your own. This is dire. You go, hold it. You're bringing an accusation? Let's look at what has happened in the past. If he's done it before, he'll do it again. Now shut up, and I'm going to let him do what he wants to do. And then what do? Woo! Woo! Yeah, and we can start celebrating, and people might think we're weird, and we are. Let's do one more here, and then we'll maybe finish this all up next week. Go to Acts chapter 16. Whew! When you're facing the enemy and he's bringing things against you, you have a pattern of behavior with God, and he'll fight the praise for you. All your job is to do is to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not a recliner, so keep all four on the floor. I'm going to wrap this up here. I'm not going to take a lot of time on this. But Acts chapter 16 is a new covenant story. Same thing. Now here's the thing, is that it's corporate, two or three, Paul and Silas. And they didn't even have musical accompaniment, did they? I don't even know. How many songs did they have? Did they memorize some of the Psalms and sing those? I was thinking about that today. What songs did they sing? They didn't have "Our Champion, He Fights for Us, He Made a Way When There Was None." They didn't have that song written yet, so they couldn't sing that. They probably sang "Victory in Jesus" because it was in the hymnal. No, they didn't have hymnals back then either. I know that's kind of bums some people out, but I like those songs. I like them. Jesse and I were talking about that this morning too. Some people think that they had hymnals back in the Bible. They didn't. That was a human invention, just like singing off the wall is. But James chapter 16, verse 25, let's just read this. It says, here's Paul and Silas. They're locked up. They're in stocks and chains, and they're in a prison, and they're in bad shape. It's Acts 16, so we'll be getting to this in about 2 years. Verse 25, so it's safe to preach on it now. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What were they doing when they were they're in stocks? Their hands and their feet are chained and bound. They're not just sitting in a prison going, "Hey guys, let's all get together and we'll play, let's just open this up." I mean, they're bound up, and there's nothing really good that could be going for them. And around midnight, which represents the darkest part of the night, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and they weren't doing it quietly. Other prisoners were listening. They were hearing. And suddenly, you learn to praise and worship, there'll be a lot of suddenlies happen. There was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner. You learn to praise and worship in a corporate setting, and you're gonna see some chains break on other people. Can I ask you a question here? If somebody else in this room was dependent on your praise and worship, how free would they be? Do you, this is what this says. This is New Covenant, so this has as much to do with us as anything in the Word of God. And it says, when they sang, when they offered up praise, not only their chains were broken, but other people in the room. Corporate. That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to be here ready to go. That's why you need to be eager. Don't let anything in the world stop you from that. Amen. I remember we had a trip. It was a trip where Jessica cried. Remember when I went down to Mexico and Jessica cried because she missed my phone call? And we were down there as a bunch of leaders, leaders of different denominations, leaders of different groups. There's several from ours. Our minister, John Chamness, and myself were down there from up here. Then there were several from down in the church down in South Texas that went too. And it was Wednesday night, and Wednesday day we went out and we did some ministry around, and then Wednesday night came, and we were all sitting around the, just kind of chilling. And everybody was in their own place, and some people were out sitting in rocking chairs, just out in the out front porch of their dining hall, their meeting hall, their church service place, and the place they ate, their kitchen area. They're out there. Other people were standing in the kitchen making sandwiches for themselves. A bunch of us were sitting around these tables. We were just starting talking about praise and worship. And then, you know, one person would say, "This, I like this song," and he'd start singing it. So we'd all start singing it too. And another person would join in, sing a song. And the thing is, they weren't all worship leaders. So they might be going, "I like this song. Hallelujah." And everybody's going, "Hallelujah." And so there was a point, and I wouldn't do this normally, but I kind of got annoyed with it, because there's some songs we couldn't, because everybody's starting weird, and so I said, "Hey, if we're gonna do this," I just thought to myself, "We're gonna do this. Let's do this right." And so I just kind of sitting there at this table, I just started singing certain songs, and at that time I probably was. We were probably doing worship, so I did have part. And just a song, we'd sing a song, and that place turned in from people just sitting around enjoying their evening to a room full of people. Everybody that was at that table just began raising their hands, and then I would go from song to song to song to song, just worshiping the Lord. And it just unleashed something in that place. It went from a night off of where people were just kind of chilling and just kind of laughing and stuff like that to praise and worship, intense worship before the Lord. And there's about 40 people in the group that was there on the camp. But again, several of them were on the outside of the. Some were sitting over, laying in their beds across the camp. But it's in the middle of nowhere, and so our voices just carried. And as we're all sitting in there, and there was people, the leaders of the camp, they were sitting off in a little more distance. But when we were done, people that were over in their beds just laying there said, "Man, that ministered to me." They were start talking about what the Lord started speaking to them and talking to them and ministering to them. People that were sitting out, just they weren't even participating in the, they were just sitting out in these rocking chairs that they had out on the porch of it. They were like, they came in later and said, "I don't know what you guys are doing in here, but that was, I've never had anything like that." And it was just this simple worship that we just began entering into. But just us entering, and it affected me too. I mean, we had people at that table just crying, worshiping the Lord. But what was happening here was affecting everybody. Everybody around in that whole compound that could hear the voices and hear the singing was being changed and transformed. So when you miss a service, and again, I'm not saying, I know things happen. I'm not judging, okay? But when you miss a service, or you take praise and worship lightly, or you think, "I'm okay if I miss it. It's not that big a deal if I miss it." You may be the one that was responsible for someone else's breakthrough. When you come to church, when you come into worship, you're not just being responsible for you. Yeah, you are responsible for you. When your chains fall off, someone else's chains could crumble off too. But you've got to be in that place. You know that prisoners across the nation, their chains didn't fall off. Prisoners in a different prison across the city here, their chains didn't fall off. Both the ones that they were there with, Paul and Silas, their chains. Where you go to church matters. Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, the deeper we get in this, the deeper it gets. I don't know about you, but it makes me want to just praise and worship all the time. But hallelujah. That's one of the things. Thursday night's message really gives you that. If you watch that on Facebook or download that and watch that, it really gives you insight to the fact that we need both the spirit and the worship and the word. They work in cahoots. You can't have one effectively without the other. And it was excellent message. So that's why we don't just stay in praise and worship, but that's sure why we enter in. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesse, come to the piano. I know I've preached over, and I'm not doing this just to, but I just want to allow the Spirit to. We got a few minutes, if you give me. It's 12:12. Just pick a worship. Let's do Worthy of It All. Yeah, because that kind of flows in with this. We'll just sing a song of worship. And again, I'm not doing this to try to prolong it, just to prolong it. I'm just let's enter in a little bit. If the Holy Spirit has something to say, he'll declare it. Otherwise, we're just going to finish feeling good here. Amen. Hallelujah. All the saints and angels bow before your throne.